Welcome to the Ethics Experts, where we're elevating ethics and compliance and HR to the strategic level it's supposed to be.
Hello, welcome to the Ethics Experts. We are excited today to feature Cesar Contreras about, we're going to be talking about the next generation of compliance and where things are going. Cesar, it's really great to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So, you know, we on the Ethics Experts, we like to tell the personal side of ethics and compliance. So let's start with you, man. Tell me a little bit about how you got into this industry and this profession and kind of what keeps you interested in the ethics industry.
Okay. So it started like 11 years ago when I started, you know, digging into compliance, anti-corruption and anti-bribery compliance, AML, legal compliance, regulatory compliance in South America. So that's how I started my career over there. I'm originally from Brazil. So with that, I expanded my knowledge in compliance, working for financial institutions and corporations, and also understanding more about corruption, especially in Brazil now. It's the variety of corruption it's going on right now. And with that, assessing and mitigating risk for third-party risk in around the enterprise levels, working with the compliance and also in financial institution, I graduated with financial management, involving those type of transactions that I wanted to understand better to mitigate those risks. And then in 2016, I moved to the US because I found my love here. So that's how we start a family here.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And then here in the US, I study legal studies, which involves also about this pursue with this career in compliance and legal perspective. So I studied legal studies and I'm currently studying legal and government to understand about policies, how it, the government set up a policy and procedures, how as us a financial institution or corporation have to deal with those things and mitigating those risks and approach those risks. And with that, I started my passion about reinforced law and compliance and ethics, acting as a liaison to improve the governance with the organization and improve ethics, conduct, best practices, and spread compliance throughout the organization, providing the best practice for throughout the line of business, as well as for individuals who join the business. And I'm passionate about law and regulation. So that's why I started earlier. And now I continue moving forward with this compliance ethics.
That's great, man. Yeah, it's cool to see, you know, we met on LinkedIn and it's cool to see you, you know, you continue to educate yourself. Recently, you got your certificate in risk management for projects. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And I love the, you know, the continuous improvement and the thirst for learning that you have. And, you know, I think that it's important for all of us, no matter what we do do that. But obviously in ethics and compliance, we gotta get sharp and stay sharp on all that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, I was, you know, during this whole process of quarantine and, you know, studying and everything and working at home, we have, you know, I save time because I have to drive to the office. Like it's about 1 hour and 10 minutes to go and go back. So it's saving time for me, and being at home and working saved my time to, you know, pursue with the certification, for example. And then I decide to approach this as a benefit for me to, you know, enhance my third party risk management, and with that and increasing my knowledge and experience with the management of those risks and also benefits of the company that I'm working right now. So, and future, I'm sure future companies that I'm gonna be working with.
Yeah, there are all kinds of benefits to investing in ourselves, and you know, so that way we can serve better and, you know, be a better help to our team going forward, right?
Yes, absolutely. No question about it.
Yeah, right. You said that you have you've had a passion for legal and governance. What attracted you to this industry, or why are you the type of person that cares about that? I think a lot of kids, when they're 10 years old, they don't say, "Hey, I want to go into ethics." Maybe they don't even know what that word is. But what made you become interested in this?
I believe it was part of my understanding in compliance investigation. So when I just started with a company that is starting the process of implementing compliance at the corporation level, opened my eyes to pursue on this career. And I think it was be in compliance specific, conducting those investigations and policy and procedure controls and change policies and talk with the enterprise level directors and interact with a different kind of background made me just I want to pursue on this career because it's a beautiful career and people who has challenged the laws and regulations, and sometimes we talk with the regulators, how we supposed to approach this in terms of in your perspective, like a prosecutor perspective, but also us as a opportunity for us as a corporation to prove that we are doing everything under the book and the records that we have, but also to prove that we are going beyond what they expect us to do. So, but continue my improvement and understand about compliance made me feel just like I want to be part of compliance since the beginning. So when I started this program initially with this communication with this corporation that I was part of the initiative of compliance, open my mind for to dig into compliance perspective and understand better, and now I'm just passionate about. So it was not like when I was little, I want to be something about law enforcement or something, because I hate to read, so I didn't like to read. And in compliance we know that we have so many policies, so many things changed on our daily basis or monthly or year, and we have to read. And then this opened also my mind to, I think I need to read better and more as an individual to grow. I need to understand better about policy and procedure in our country, because we have a policy in place that nobody knows about it. And we need to understand and to scrutinize those things. And if some risk approached us before we approach them, we already know what to do. So I think it was more when I started this with this company to implement the ABAC compliance that opened my mind to, I want to go deep into compliance.
That's cool, man. Yeah, I find that a lot of times when I ask people that question, they got a little taste of it somewhere, right? They started doing something and you open the door and you look into the room and you say, oh, wow, look, it's complex and it's interesting and it's challenging and we can have this big impact, and you get a little exposure to it. And then, I think people end up digging in and then, like you're doing now, building a successful career in it.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm sure I'm going to continue throughout my entire career path with this compliance, because as I said, I have a passion about and you see a law and regulation and say, well, what I can do better on my daily basis to help not myself, but my colleagues, and also the perspective on the business, because the risk that we approach on a daily basis, we need to turn into an opportunity for the business. In a business perspective, they want to continue doing negotiations around the globe, and us as a compliance individual, we don't want to stop the negotiations, but we want to open mind for them to say, we approach this risk, that's okay for you to conduct the business or expand the business.
Right. And it's that full perspective that we can have can help people, and we can say, here's what you can do. Here's how, here we can clear the way out, and then you can go this way and you can have the negotiations or whatever it is. I love that you brought up that it's not just about doing what we're supposed to do, but demonstrating from our, you know, our actions and our policies and our, you know, the things in our systems that we're doing more than we're required. And I think that we're seeing more and more people talk about that. Like we hear people talk about getting into this compliance 3.0 world, where the 1.0 was, you know, in the 1900s, and it was just very legal focused and regulatory focused, and I need to do what I need to do, and I'm going to check the box and then make sure I can defend myself if I get in a lawsuit. And then, you know, kind of 2.0 has been running for a couple decades, where, you know, people look at, they say, all right, well, we have to do this stuff. Let's be efficient about it, right? Let's prove some ROI and let's outsource this or whatever it is. And it's, you know, let's kind of mostly do what we need to do, but do it more efficiently. And now people are moving into compliance 3.0 of let's be effective and let's go beyond what we're forced to, because when we do a really great job as ethics experts, then we're not just saying no to things and saying, hey, watch out, you know, we got a risk there, but we're saying, hey, let's partner together. Let me see what you need to do, because there are interests that the business has that I can give some input into, and I can keep you from stumbling, or I can keep this thing from getting halfway there and getting shut down. And we can collaborate with other divisions and help enable the business to do better rather than just keeping it from doing poorly.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And in fact, this new perspective of the DOJ that just put a guide evaluating those corporations when something happened with the business, it's not actually to the business. And I have listening some of the commentators comment on the perspective. It's for the business, open their mind and understand that if something happened with the business at that point, the prosecutor would go and check their box and see what the mitigating risk the company did to avoid any type of litigation. But however, they also changed their policy internally, showing that to the business outside the US DOJ, listen, we are changing our policy because it's needed. The globally change, the risk change, and you as a corporation must also change our policy and procedure and adapt the new regulations and new perspective that globally we have seen changes. So for the understanding of most of the business, they just say, oh, we are going to just check the box for a compliance perspective, but also DOJ, it's showing you as a corporation, say, listen, we are changing our policy internally. It's an opportunity for you to change our policy in terms of a risk and how you mitigate risk before something happened. An interesting point to say that. And I have listened all the commentators mention about, oh, it's just like reminding people that it's prosecutor's perspective to see something, but also alarm those corporations to change their policy and views, and in fact conduct more for the due diligence, take care of the third party risk, ethics compliance, or something like that. That would encourage those corporations to change their policy and views.
Yeah, and it's opening up our minds and our view to, you know, I think it's some of the things that I think ethics experts have been pushing for, but maybe the company doesn't always get it. But going beyond that to that effectiveness, to that compliance 3.0, it's not just kind of making things tighter, but it's having a more fulsome picture of, well, we were doing these things to look out for it, and the DOJ is going to take into consideration how you adapted to these things. And, you know, it's not just, oh, you messed up, you stepped on the line, but what were you doing to prevent that? And it's not just being more strict, but it's being more wholesome and complete. And that's what I think we as ethics experts need to be living out within our organizations, of not just, hey, I read the regulation, I know what it says, you have to do this, but hey, let's have a thoughtful, full view of not just risk management, but total company goal management. And we can be a partner to other divisions within the organization and help everyone achieve the company's mission.
Yeah, absolutely. And the chief compliance officer has a challenge view, the perspective of this regulatory side, because my point of view is, if from the top they don't think that it would be an issue, it could be like fail the whole perspective of policy and procedures. If the employee is not following the regulations or even like our internal policy, that it would be scrutinized, something that could be minimal, but at the end of the day or the year could be like a massive destruction for the corporation. So the tone from the top, it's essential for the business, and the chief compliance officer must have a clear conversation with the CEO, CFO, whatever it is on the top, that we must be together and being compliant. It's benefit. It's not something that would stop the business.
Yeah, and we need to be that. We need to engage with people in a way that builds a relationship and builds trust, so that they know that we are trying to help and support and enable the business, not just kind of say no to things.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are talking these days about how compliance and ethics leaders need to kind of just get out of just their own division in their own head and understand how the business sees us, right? How another division leader sees us, how people in the front lines who do a bunch of the activities that we're trying to educate them about and monitor, how they see our organization within the organization. But we also talk a lot about localization, right? As you're part of a global company that works across region, across country, and things like that, you're dealing with a difference in those perceptions and a difference in those cultures. I'd love to hear your perspective on how you think kind of the frontline employees views the compliance team and how that might have been different in Brazil generally versus how you're seeing it in the US. Are you seeing any differences across locations?
In some instance, yes, but I would say the front line of the business, they don't like compliance.
Uh-huh.
Because in their mind,
in
their mind, it's just like, oh, they're trying to block my vendor to conduct the business.
Right.
Oh, they're blocking this because there's something going on. Oh, they are blocking this. Their perspective, if you don't have effective communication and clear message why we are doing this, why we have to do this, they're going to think that compliance is the place that it stops business, and we have to change its mind. Because in Brazil, for example, I have tons and tons of individuals in sales or other departments who just was thinking about it. Oh, compliance is just blocking my vendor to do my transfer to another country or something like that. No, we had to explain to them what is the issue, what is our concern arise during the process or the due diligence that we had, and then present to them, this is the risk. So you accepted the risk, or you're gonna just mitigate, let's mitigate the risk to pass this vendor to conduct the business, or let's terminate this vendor in this perspective. So here in the US, I think people take this more seriously as in Brazil, but it's still both countries has so many things, and especially in Brazil, because we are conducting business also here in the US, and we must follow the rules and regulation here in the US also. So they're just like more acceptable to those regulations here than just like in Brazil. Oh, it's just another regulation or something. No, we have to enforce that. But for them to understand that, we need to have a clear conversation about our policy and procedures. As I said, it doesn't matter that it's just like a small portion or a legal perspective that it's going to represent our business outside the court or inside the court or something like that, but it's using our name of business to conduct its business outside our department or corporation, that would impact us as an ethical or reputational or operational or legal risk. And they must understand those things, because if they don't understand, they're just like, no, compliance is blocking. And sometimes let those people to do the wrong thing and under the policy and procedure, no, I'm not going to send it to compliance to review because I know they're going to block these things and it could lead something worse or litigation or even termination of the employees or the vendor or something like that. So I think it's the the perspective that a compliance team needs to embrace to everybody else is just like, let's have a clear conversation what exactly compliance means and have a good relationship. You want to talk about a vendor, come to my desk, we can talk about what is the risk that you approach during the due diligence process, or what is the risk may arise during the whole contract that we have with the third party. What I can help you to have this vendor on board, and what you can help me as a compliance perspective to have more information from this vendor. So I think it's both sides need to work together in this perspective, and clear communication is the key to success.
It is, man. It's so great that you bring that up, because that communication is the key to the action that we need, right? Our goal as ethics experts is not just to know things, right? Just to know the regulation. It's not just to write things and take actions and say, all right, well, there's a policy here, right? All of this needs to affect someone's behavior. And how are you going to do that? You can force someone, right? You can lock the door or make, you know, lock them out of an area or something like that. But really, it's all through communication, right? Like, in order, you can't really affect someone's behavior outside of like something physical, like locking the door, other than by communication, and to get an idea into their mind and to get them to see a perspective and buy into it, and then to take that right action of asking you for that advice, or, you know, collaborating with you or reporting something or whatever it is. It needs to start with communication, and that conversation, I think you put it really well, man. You're talking about how we need to have an effective message that shows it from their perspective of what they're trying to do, so that we can collaborate with them. We can be a trusted advisor, not someone who they're hoping doesn't notice that they're doing something.
Yeah. It's the communication is the key. If we don't have effective communication throughout the organization, when someone asks me, oh, what is the best practice for compliance to spread compliance throughout the organization? Go to the department and talk with the individuals, conduct like a small training, or even like a email communication, say that, oh, do you know compliance has those things that could help you to, you know, facilitate our business? Just let us know, come here to my desk, or, you know, let's talk over the phone, or if it's outside the business, what I can do to help you with this vendor. So the communication is the key for any line of business. But in this perspective, like how the people see compliance throughout the organization is just like compliance. It's the sheriff for my organization. And I'm not going to talk to them. And just trust me, we are not sheriff. We're trying to enforce our policy, but also the communication is the key. If I understand your problem, we can solve together.
That's great. I love that. If we understand your problem, we can solve it together. And we're trying to help them solve problems, right? I mean, I think a lot of people have this perspective from outside the ethics department that, oh, that's the sheriff. But, you know, I know hundreds of people in ethics and compliance, and they want to be helpful, and they want to get it right, and they want to take care of people, and they're trying to do this whole thing. But, you know, I think to your point, we need to engage in relationship. We need to engage in effective communication to break down that perception that, you know, as unwarranted as it is, reality is our friend. And if that's the reality, we have to try to address that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'd love to talk a little bit about kind of your career experience and kind of the dynamic of compliance teams. What have been some experiences that you've had where you've had a manager or a boss or a leader or a mentor in compliance and ethics that has really helped you kind of see your career in a new light, or helped you kind of get on a path to better success?
Yeah.
What does it look like to have a great, you know, manager or mentor in compliance?
Yeah, in fact, working in Brazil, I met with a huge amount of colleagues that helped me to understand better about compliance, ethics, and perspective. And one of my boss, and I'm sure she's going to listen to this because I'm going to share with her, Margaret Paduelli, her name. She was one of the best mentor in my career. She had her perspective about compliance. It's amazing. her experience and vast experience in compliance and ethics, understanding about our needs to our department. It's just like bring back everything together, and the compliance team as a family, work as a family. If I need something to clarify on my process that I'm conducting or the policy that I need to address or something like that, it's just like, let's sit together here and discuss as a family members what we can do better for our department to show everybody else that we are great in this, what we are doing here and why we are doing here. So she was a great mentor, and she's still in my life, talk to me sometimes about, and I ask her advice and other colleagues also. I have all friends in Brazil. Now it's attorney, one it's a compliance manager. I have friends here in the US, Mary Phillips, Jennifer Myers, and other friends too who participate in compliance also. That brings me this idea and perspective that helped me to leverage my career and start like a new process and bring like other perspectives in compliance matters and bring this understanding about compliance, not only compliance for regulatory compliance, but also legal compliance would make me feel confident what I'm doing right now. So I have a great opportunity to talk with those individuals who had like a vast experience in compliance, and that helps me to understand about issues that I might be struggling with, or maybe I could think outside the box that situation, and they bring just light for me and say, oh, think about this thing right here, or open mind to see something else. And I'm just grateful for that. And at this day, I still haven't like some kind of information that, oh, I need clarification, I need to understand this, I'm not getting it. And they just like, no, let's discuss about it. And that's how compliance teams supposed to work, be like a family members. And you know, sometimes it's interesting because sometimes they just have like a live conversation that we call cough break.
Yeah,
that we just like bring a piece of cake and put on the table and just discuss about life, but also turns into like work environment discussion that, oh, what about this case, what about this policy, what we can do better, what we should do for International Compliance Day, what we can do better. So it's amazing. And she's still in my life, and I ask her advice because she's amazing, and she's one of the best boss that I had. And I'm sure, and her boss too, Ben Bard, he's amazing. This guy, it's just like as knowledgeable as he is, and he's a transparent people that express to you what his views, but also what we can do better as a team, as a global team. So he's amazing, and I am so grateful that I met those people, and that they're still around, and I don't have a complaint about it. It's amazing, amazing.
That's great, man. It's really cool to hear you talk about that. You know, I think as leaders, we all need to recognize that the generation coming up behind us, the people that we manage, they really need that mentorship and they need that guidance. And leadership is not just, you know, telling people what to do and making sure the job gets done, but building leaders within your team. So Margaret Padueli, if you're listening, thank you. Jennifer, Mary, Ben, thank you for the impact that you've had on Cesar's life. Thank you for being the type of leader that I think we all across ethics and compliance need to be. We need to build great teams. We need to build ourselves into leaders and trusted advisors throughout the organization. And a great way to do that is to build relationships, you know, and welcome someone on your team to be comfortable enough to have that psychological safety to say, hey, I need some help with this. Hey, I'd love your perspective on it. And I think part of being successful is leaving that margin, leaving that time in your schedule to have those conversations, have a little cake and see where the conversation goes, huh?
Absolutely. And it was just like amazing to see that. It's just like a free time for 10 minutes, 15 minutes out of our, you know, crazy schedule, but it's also turned into a conversation that it's not just about life, but also about our perspective in terms of our process, our work, and something else. And sometimes you just need this peaceful mind to, you know, open your mind for new business or what we can do better. Oh, I can do better on this or on that. And it's amazing. Yeah, they were great.
That's great, man. So one thing I want to get your perspective on is there's this dynamic, you know, you've maybe seen people comment about this, about millennials in the workplace and how this millennial generation is, you know, quickly becoming the majority in the workplace. And over time, our generation is going to kind of take over the leadership roles that are currently led by Gen X and baby boomers. How can you give our audience who may be part of those older generations perspective on what millennials are looking for in a leader or what our industry and our profession is going to be adapting to as millennials grow up into more leadership positions and kind of take on some more senior roles? Do you have any perspective on that?
Yeah, I think based on my perspective that it's just like don't think just like inside the box as you sit in front of your desk or your computer and oh, this is another day at work. No, think of what you can do differently than you have done yesterday, but also you can increase your exposure in this process. So can I change like a procedure that would facilitate for the line of business? And your boss, present to your boss, your manager, saying that, oh, I found this interesting. If we change like this procedure in this maneuver, this policy and procedure, how we can do, what do you think about it? Bring new perspective to your department, makes you feel like exposed to new opportunities and also learn process. Because as we know, we don't know everything. And we go to a new department, and especially in compliance, the regulation change, policy change, and we have to adapt those situations as soon as possible. And we have to be able to do that and present those perspectives to your manager and boss and your thinking that would let you to be exposed for new opportunity, but also not just think about your work, but outside when you're home or when you have a free time that, oh, I have a free time. So instead of doing something else, I think I'm going to search a article or GOJ or any type of extra course that you open your mind to new perspective and maybe like participating in events that it's ethic compliance or any other department that you work in, sales or something like that, would, you know, open your mind for new perspective. And I think it's interesting because during this, especially COVID, we are all home. Most of the people, it's working from home and we have a free time. Just go online and see what is the events that it's free to join and listening to those individuals talking about, commentators talk about. And sometimes you just open minds and bring those perspective inside your department and maybe implement a new strategy or a new policy or something that could leverage the perspective, the business and the line of business and efficiency on the process. And I think use this free time outside your work and digging into more about what you like most, if it's law, if it's the contract, if it's third party, as I did third party risk management for project, and something like that would benefit you and for sure the business that you working with them right now.
That's great, man. I really appreciate that encouragement. And as we wrap up here, you know, we've covered a lot today. We've talked about, you know, your path in your career. We've talked about people who have mentored you. We've talked about the need for effective communication to really partner with people in different business units to help them see that we're here to help them, and the importance of that communication, and also just the need to make sure that we're showing up in a way as a trusted advisor to help them. And, you know, I think that's a really great push for anyone anywhere in their career to really do that learning and to dig into it and become, you know, the path to becoming an ethics expert is not something that happens overnight. It's not something that happens in 4 years of school in undergrad or a graduate program or anything like that. It needs to be a constant journey, because you've talked about how dynamic the regulations are and the risk landscape is. And we really need to be students of this game, and we need to be continually learning. So I think that's a great push for all of us to make sure we continue to invest in ourselves.
Absolutely. No question about it. And if you're really passionate about compliance and ethics, just go and, you know, listen this podcast. There's other podcasts also. You can go and search and participate in events and everything. And absolutely, it's going to aggregate what you have done in the past. And most important, it's going to open your mind to, you know, be more focused on the direction that you want to go.
That's great, man. Well, Cesar, thank you so much for being on our podcast today. This has been The Ethics Experts. I'm your host, Giovanni Gallo, and this is Cesar Contreras. Thank you for joining us. You can find Cesar on LinkedIn. He's active. He jumps in a bunch of conversations. Please continue to stay engaged and check us out as we continue to try to help elevate the ethics and compliance profession and serve ethics experts all around. Thank you, Cesar.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.